Today we're going to be going through Joshua chapter 3, the crossing of the Jordan. Now, you ever face a huge obstacle in your life? Like a really big, huge mama obstacle. It takes faith to do it God's way. It takes faith to actually take on, to face an obstacle God's way. In today's passage, the Israelites face a huge, a humongous obstacle, and they do it God's way. It's wonderful. The Israelites do not always do it the right way, but here they come through and they do it right. And it's wonderful and refreshing to see that. After 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, it is now time to enter into the land of promise. The generation of unbelief, largely unbelief, they are now dead. And the generation of faith is ready to enter the land of promise. But the River Jordan stands in the way. And this is at flood stage. So the River Jordan stands in the way of them being able to go into the land of promise. They're on the east side of the Jordan. They're going west right now because they've sort of gone all the way around. And they're going west, crossing the Jordan and taking on Jericho. That's the first city there to take on as far as the conquest, the land of promise, taking the land that God has promised them. In today's passage, the Israelites are instructed to cross the Jordan and to demonstrate their faith. So please stand for the reading of the word. We're going to read the entire chapter. Bear with us. If you need to sit, feel free, but it's the entire chapter starting in verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan.'" So Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites," all those ites. Verse 11, "Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan." Verse 12, "Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap." So it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still, and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Father, we thank you for this record of how you worked so miraculously among your people, and we thank you that you still work miraculously among your people. You are the same God who still parts waters today. and you work in wonderful ways in our lives, sometimes subtle ways, sometimes very overt and very, very obvious. And we pray, Lord, that you would increase our faith, that we'd have sensitivity, we'd have a desire to obey you, a desire to do the things you want us to do, even if it doesn't make sense. And I pray, Father, that you'd lead us and stretch us and grow us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. What a great passage. The whole Bible is full of great passages, but this is a great passage. So, a summary of this. So, Joshua and the people, they're being prepared to cross the Jordan. The officers among the Israelites, they say, hey, when you see the ark, follow it. When you see the ark, remember the Ark of the Covenant? What's in there? It has the tablets, the staff, Aaron's staff, and it has manna. And so the tablets representing the law of God, the holiness of God, the staff representing the power of God, and the manna representing the provision of God and the love of God. And the officers say, hey, give it space. About 1,000 yards, give it space. In some ways, it's like reverence, almost like, whoa, we can't be too close. It's reverence, but they basically say also right there, so everyone can see it. This is a place that we haven't been before, and everyone needs to be able to see this thing. So we're all standing back so that everyone can see the Ark of the Covenant, which is representing the presence of God. It's representing the presence of God as far as Old Testament Israel. The focal point of the presence of God is the Ark of the Covenant. And remember, that'll sort of transition into the temple, and the Ark will be actually in the most holy place. And so it's a sense of the presence of God. Well, guess where the temple is, and it has been since the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. The temple is us. As far as every believer, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so in some ways, we are the temple now, which is awesome. What a privilege. And it means, hey, let's live a life just for the Lord, totally for him. And when we have a desire to give into the flesh, let's resist it and let's say no to it. And let's get up again after we do mess up and receive forgiveness, because we're holy temples or we're part of a holy temple. And so give it space. There's reverence and everyone can see them. Joshua says, hey, people, sanctify yourselves. That means set yourselves apart. Set yourselves apart from the common things so you can do that which is uncommon. And purify yourself. And you need to be holy. And then Joshua says to the priests, hey, you're going to go first. Guys, you are going to go first. Which is awesome as far as the spiritual leaders of Israel, they're going first. Because this is a God thing. This is a God battle. This is a God act. And it has to be God orchestrated. God says at this point, he says, I will establish you, Joshua. This is your defining moment. I'm going to establish you. It's not you doing it in your own strength. You're just obeying me. And I'm going to establish you in your leadership. And you're going to be the one who orders the priests in. I'm going to work through you, and you're going to order the priests in. So Joshua gathers the people, and he says, hey, come and hear the word of the Lord. But without the word of the Lord, we don't do great things. But he says, come and hear the word of the Lord. And he says also, by this, you're going to know. By what you're going to see, you're going to know that God is going to wipe out the Amorites and the Jebusites and all the ites we mentioned. All the nasty folks that are being judged at this time. And again, someone could say, well, that's terrible that they're all being judged. Doesn't God love those people? Rahab is a Canaanite who comes to faith in the God of Israel. So Rahab, who's in Jericho, is able to say, I'm going to forsake all this stuff because it's under judgment anyway. I'm going to forsake it all, and I'm going to join up with the God of Israel. So it's not that he's doing nasty things. Judgment is very real. Holiness of God is very real. We think we got our own life and we can do whatever we want and define our own morality. No way. God's in charge. And there's a reckoning day. There's a judgment day. There's a accountability for believers, and there's a great white throne judgment for unbelievers. And it's in some ways, a terrible thing. So Joshua gathers the people. He says, come in here. And by this you will know there's going to be victory. You're going to see this amazing act, and there's going to be victory. This will just seal the deal in your mind that God is able to give us this entire land of promise, even though we are not a battle-hardened people with a bunch of weaponry. We have a bunch of teens and a bunch of kids, and just we don't have the normal armies that the others in the land have, and yet God's going to give it to us. Don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but he's going to give it to us. And he loves to work that way. And he says to the people, the ark is going to go first. And there's going to be 12 representatives from the tribes, and we'll see more on them next chapter. And the Jordan is going to be cut off. So the Jordan is going to, it's going to stop for us, guys. And so then we see the actual crossing at the end of this whole chapter. The priests do go first. They dip their feet in the water. Sorry, they're stepping into the edge of the Jordan. And at that point, the waters stand still. They rise up in a heap. They're cut off. They rise up in a heap. The priests stand in the midst of the flood stage Jordan bed, and all the people cross over. All of them. It's been estimated there are roughly 2 million people, as far as men, women, all the teenagers, and all the kids. It's like, whoa. Three insights regarding walking by faith. Three insights from this chapter regarding walking by faith. Insight number one, walking by faith is not easy. It is not easy. It involves obstacles. We have 2 million people who need to cross over this River Jordan at flood stage, harvest time, flood stage. And how are they going to get across? How are these babies going to get across? How are the kids going to get across? How are they going to do it? Every obstacle we have that God wants us to take on is an opportunity. So it's an obstacle and it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to see God work. If we're led by God to do that which is on the edge, it's like it doesn't make sense. It's not humanly what we would expect. It's not humanly what we would plan. It's not comfortable. I don't foresee how it's all going to work out. Every obstacle is an opportunity to see God work and to enter in and say, Lord, I trust you. I want to walk by faith. I don't want to walk by all the things I can see, all the things I can plan. I'm in control. I want to walk by faith. So walking by faith is not easy. No great person of God in Scripture found an easy road. It was not easy for Abraham to leave everything behind and to go to a land he had never seen. And that was the original promised land. He didn't really dwell there very long, but he was able to go there. And that was not easy to do. He was fairly well off, and he gave up so much to go to a place he didn't expect to go. David, who is one of my favorite characters in Scripture because he's so human, and it was not easy for him to take on Goliath. That was huge. Everyone was trembling over Goliath. He's tall. He's a warrior. I cannot take him on. And they're all trembling. And he goes, hey, who does this guy think he is? And it's not easy. Now, David had confidence. God had already trained him in the quietness of taking care of the sheep. He already knew how to use that sling really well, and he knew God was able to do it. God had already delivered the sheep from the lion and the bear. And it's not a big deal in some ways to deliver Israel from this bully who is bullying them. So it's not easy. Whatever we do, it's not going to be easy. The disciples, the apostles, they didn't have an easy time of it after Christ had died and rose again. They went out and shared the gospel. And not everyone didn't like open the door and say, this is awesome. A bunch of people did. But a bigger bunch of people said, you are crazy. This is nuts. We don't like what you're saying. We don't agree with what you're saying. You are evil. And they're saying all sorts of nasty things about them. It was not easy being an apostle, being a disciple. And we know from history that pretty much they all died for their faith, except for John, who was tortured. I think he was boiled in oil, as I recall. It was quite an experience. And he didn't die. But others, as far as historically, Fox's Book of Martyrs and historical documents, it looks like all of them died for their faith except for John. It's like, man, it's not easy. It's not easy serving the Lord. It's not easy walking by faith. Walking by faith is not easy. That's insight number one. Insight number two, walking by faith is orchestrated by God. It's orchestrated by God. If it's not orchestrated by God, we're not walking by faith. Walking by faith is orchestrated by God. God is leading. He is the one who is leading. In verse 3, when you see the ark, the middle of verse 3, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. So the ark of the covenant, the focal point of God's presence, that's what's going first. And when you see it move, you move. When you see it lifted up, you look, you follow. So he's the one who's leading. In verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. God's presence is going first. When we lead something, it is pitiful. We might succeed based on, to some degree, based on talents or whatever, but in the long run, it bears no eternal fruit. It is pitiful as far as the things we do in the flesh in our own strength. I remember there was almost every Bible study I've had the privilege of either starting or leading. Almost everyone has been blessed wonderfully, but there was one Bible study that was not very blessed. And here's the basics of it. I had just gotten out of grad school. No, I got out of my undergrad years, and I was there for a summer in New Jersey. I was going back for a year of grad school. And so I was there in New Jersey for the summer. And there were a whole bunch of us students staying on the campus of Rutgers University in New Jersey. We were working as summer employees for a wonderful company called Bell Labs. And then there was a Bible study that started on the campus. And there were two sides of the campus that we were on. And there was a Bible study that started. And I went to it. But it was interesting. I remember looking at it saying, not spirit-filled enough for me. It's just not strong enough for me. It's not on the edge enough for me. There was nothing unscriptural about it, but it just didn't seem to be cutting edge. I had experienced cutting edge stuff. And so I put up posters after it had started. I put up posters saying, hey, another Bible study too. And I put posters all over both sides of campus, of course, because I always get excited about whatever I think I'm supposed to do. And so I put up all these posters, and one person comes, and the one person, I don't know if she had sorrow for me, or if she wanted a date, I wasn't quite sure. Nice girl, but never dated her, and she came, and it wasn't like the small beginning of something great. It was like, something's just not right here. This is just not what God has for us at this time. And so I realized, okay, this is not what God is doing. And instead of building on what was already there, even though it wasn't super strong, and yet it wasn't a bad Bible study, instead of building and aligning myself with that, I was wanting to start something different. And I didn't feel it was, reflecting back on it, I don't feel it was blessed. I felt it was sort of a work of personal initiative, and sort of taking something on, but not necessarily God's timing. And so it just wasn't blessed of the Lord. And so I curtailed it. And when we lead something, it is pitiful. Even if it's something that looks spiritual, it looks pretty good. And yet if it's not really the Lord's best or the Lord's timing, then it's still potentially either a work of the flesh or it's just not his work at that time. So walking by faith is orchestrated by God. God is to lead. That means we need to learn to be patient and to hear from God. And the kinds of things that are being talked about here in this passage, when there's this whole word of, hey, sanctify yourselves. And so we need to learn to purify ourselves, to confess our known sin and to receive forgiveness and to get up again and resist the enemy and sanctify ourselves, make ourselves holy. Dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Purify our motives, Lord. And in some ways, sanctify ourselves. That it's the whole area of, you know, clean out our ears so we can hear from God, so we can be led by Him, because walking by faith is orchestrated by God. And I remember there was one time, this was again in New Jersey, and this was years later after the other incident that I talked about. And I remember I was like, moving on, trucking on with life. Life was going well as far as Bible studies and work and all that. It was going actually pretty well. And I remember I felt a little heaviness in my ear. And I went to the doctors. And he looked in. He goes, I think I see something in there. And then he went in and he took out this humongous ball of wax. It's like, I'd never seen anything like that. That was inside my ear. And all of a sudden I could hear better. And so, you know, sometimes walking by faith, it has to be led by God, which means we got to get the earwax out. So there's times to say, could look at my ear. Is there something blocking my ability to hear from God? You know, maybe it's some self-centeredness or some stupid habit or something that's blocking my ability to hear from God. So let's not have big balls of earwax in our ears. It's really uncomfortable, and it makes it so we really can't hear the way God wants us to hear. So we sanctify ourselves. And also they're saying in verse 9, Joshua says, hey, come and hear the word of the Lord. So walking by faith, it's orchestrated by God. So God leads, and we sanctify ourselves. We do our part. We hear, we listen. We're teachable. Very important to be teachable and listen. Otherwise, we're not going to be led by God. We're going to be doing our own thing in our own timing or whatever. Maybe doing good things, but the wrong timing. And we need to hear from God. And our part also, we sanctify ourselves. We hear. We also obey. And the ark and the priests are supposed to go first, and we need to submit to that. We need to keep our distance, reverence, and yet everyone can see, and we need to follow. So there's all sorts of things in this story, but same thing with us. Let's obey the Lord, because He is to lead. Walking by faith is orchestrated by God, not by us. We're not at the center of things. What about my happiness? What about my future? It's not really about your happiness and about your future. It's about God's glory. And He can use you in an impoverished state. He can use you in whatever state He wants to use you in. And sometimes the weaker we are, the stronger we will shine for the Lord. The brighter we'll shine for Him, the stronger we'll be. So God leads. Walking by faith, it's orchestrated by God. We have a part in it. We sanctify ourselves. We hear. We listen. We obey. We do the things we need to do. And you know, it's interesting. Orchestrated by God, we may look silly in the process. Can you imagine the priests as they're stepping in and they have to get their feet wet? They're dipping their feet in the edge of the Jordan at flood stage. And someone could be sitting there from Jericho saying, oh, what stupid individuals! There's no record of that being said, but someone could look on and say, what are they doing? And sometimes God has us do things that are just looking pretty stupid. And we need to swallow our pride and say, this doesn't make sense. It's not consistent with what I feel like I should do or what I feel everyone else thinks I should do. It's like, no, Lord, help me to just obey You and do what You want me to do. And so it may look silly. And we may obey God. And it's like, I'm getting wet, or I think I'm going to get wet. The Jordan needs to stop up for us, and we need to trust Him to stop the Jordan up for us. And again, if we miss the timing, we'll get a little bit wet, we'll back out, we'll learn again from it, just like the Bible study in New Jersey. But we may look silly in what we do, but it's orchestrated by God, and sometimes the sillier we look, sometimes the more God gets glorified. So walking by faith, it's not easy. And it is orchestrated by God. Then thirdly, insight number 3, it's hugely impacting. Hugely impacting as far as walking by faith. Walking by faith establishes leaders. Joshua is being established. It's verse 7, I am going to establish you. This is your defining moment, Joshua. You're going to be established. As I was with Moses, I am with you. It strengthens others. So it establishes leaders. It strengthens others. This is a sign. You are going to have full victory as you take on the conquest, the taking of the land of promise, even though it looks like an impossible task, and it is humanly impossible, but God loves to do the humanly impossible through us, very flawed individuals. So it strengthens others. This is a sign there's full victory. All the ites are going to be defeated. And so You know, it's hugely impacting that it relates to the bigger picture. Somehow it ties us in. It's like we're part of something bigger than just what we're doing and what God is doing through us even at this time. Like this whole thing, the Exodus out of Egypt, it begins with a parting, a crossing and a parting. And it ends with a crossing and a parting. As far as the crossing and the parting of the Red Sea, the first crossing or parting. And then here's the crossing and the parting of the Jordan, the second crossing, the second parting. So it's the second crossing. And in some ways, you could look at it as bookends as far as the beginning and the end of the Exodus. You could also look at it as two new beginnings. The Red Sea was a beginning into, as far as they're now delivered. They're learning how to trust God. They didn't do a very good job, but they're learning how to trust God. And they're learning how to die to themselves. And in fact, they do die in the wilderness. In some ways, we need to die as far as our flesh needs to die in the wilderness, as far as every day take the dagger to it. And so there's deliverance. They learn trust. They're learning to die in some ways, and they're learning faith. Israel as a whole is learning how to walk by faith. That's the first beginning, the first crossing. The second crossing, it's a crossing of victory. And it's a crossing of exercising the faith that God has already now built into them. It's a crossing of, it's a beginning into taking turf. It's a beginning into bearing fruit. And we need both of those as far as learning how to die to self, being delivered from bondage and sin, and standing strong and learning how to trust God and learning faith. And then with our faith, it's not just so we can sit back and have fun. It's so that we can enter into a land of promise, have a victorious Christian life, and enter in and do things that God wants us to do and take turf from the enemy and see people come to Christ who were not Christians before. And they heard about our life and they've seen our life and they've started reading scripture because they had this desire all of a sudden to start reading scripture as we've been praying for them and others have prayed for them. And it's like we're seeing fruit take place. And so a first beginning, deliverance, learning trust, death to self, faith, learning faith. Second beginning, victory, exercising the faith, taking turf, bearing fruit. So hugely impacting. Insight number three, walking by faith is hugely impacting. And most of all, it brings glory to God. I mean, it just brings glory to God. It's impacting as far as people see how big God is when we walk with Him. They see that God's not just, oh, a nice Sunday morning thing. God is, He's the one we're to look to. And here's the one, He's the one we're to focus in on throughout the day. And He is the focal point of our lives. If our happiness and our goals are the focal point of our life, and our happiness, our everything is the focal point of our life, then we don't have the Ark of the Covenant as the focal point. We need the Ark of the Covenant. We need God. We need Jesus. We need it. Fix our eyes on Christ. He's the author and the perfecter. He's the beginning and the finisher of our faith. We need to fix our eyes on Him. If we don't fix our eyes on Him, we're in the center of our lives. And that's a pretty miserable place to be. We can still be born again, but we won't have a lot of fruit to show for it. But if we're really focusing on Him, we're going to do some amazing things for Him. And we'll see friends impacted, and we'll see acquaintances become good friends, and we'll see God will lead us away from temptation. He'll lead us toward His wonderful, wonderful, wonderful purposes. So walking by faith, it's not easy. It's orchestrated by God, and it's hugely impacting. Is there a Jordan you need to cross? Is there a Jordan you need to cross? Is there a huge obstacle in your life or a huge obstacle that will prevent or present itself in your life? If God is having you cross it, He can do it in an amazing way. And it may look impossible, and it may look silly, but God can lead you to cross the Jordan. So what's the huge obstacle? It could be a huge habit. It could be a sin of the flesh. It could be a decision we have to make to really serve the Lord and to do some kind of ministry work that He wants us to do that we've always been scared stiff to do, whether a vocational ministry or not. It doesn't matter as much as ministering to those around us and doing whatever ministry God has for us. So maybe some decision to enter into that. Maybe there's a strained relationship or a relationship where, man, the Lord wants to do something special here, whether it's a family relationship or whether it's a friend who just needs help, some kind of huge obstacle in some way. Is there something he wants you to cross? He's able to bring you across. Are you willing to follow God? Are each one of us willing to follow God? Are we willing to keep our eyes on him? Not on us and our plans and the way we think it should be done. Are we willing to keep our eyes on him? Are we willing to sanctify ourselves and to say, Lord, I'm not going to feed the flesh. All that part of me, that part of the genuine believer that still wars against God, I'm not going to feed the flesh. I'm not going to make it strong. I'm not going to obey it and its desires. I'm going to say no to it, and I'm going to die to it. I'm going to reckon it dead every day. So are we going to sanctify ourselves? Are we going to take the earwax out of our ears so we can hear from God and listen to him and take the word in? And sometimes the earwax is in the form of all sorts of other things that we're stuffing into our minds or hearts when the Lord says, I want you to put first and foremost my word into your heart. Other things can be good too, but sometimes the enemy of the best is the good. They're good things that somehow keep us from the best things. We need the word of God in our hearts. And so learning how to hear, are we willing to hear? Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to obey? Even when we look silly, are we willing to obey? Say, Lord, I'm gonna dip my foot in the Jordan. It's up to you to part. I'm just doing what you want me to do. And it's up to you. I'm going to give up my reputation. I'm going to give up what I think should be done. And I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to be obedient to what you want me to do. It's your job to stop up the Jordan and cause it to rise up in a heap. I'm just going to do my part. And if I'm missing you, I'll back out if I have to. But I will do what you want me to do or what I sense you want me to do. So are we willing to follow God? Walking with God is wonderful. We can have a cushy life, even as a believer, a wonderfully happy, fulfilling life, and things are going well. Well in the job, well with the family, well in every way. But, you know, and that's I don't mean to belittle that, but those are all important things. But God wants us to be willing to be radical for him and to really live by faith for him. And that may mean we're totally out of our comfort zone and things aren't cushy. And it may mean some of us get beheaded and or wet in the Jordan. Or somehow there's something hard and difficult that takes place. And yet we're living for the Lord. And even if our head is to be lost, Lord, I did this for you. I did this for you. And that's a well done, my good and faithful servant. If we obey the Lord and lose our heads because of it, or somehow pay a huge price because of it, then so be it. That we are rewarded wonderfully with rewards that echo through all of eternity. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. And I do pray that you would stretch our faith and strengthen us. Lord, we want to walk with you. And we want you to lead in our lives and you to direct us. And Lord, help us to be able to hear from you and to remove the earwax and put your word first and put your presence and you as our focal point. And we just thank you, Lord, for this time. And I thank you, Lord, for all the victories that you want to give each one of us and us as a fellowship. And Lord, just the crossings that you have for us and walking by faith and walking with you. Lord, it's just a promise of future victories. So, Lord, help us to be obedient each day to do that which you want us to do, to walk with you and to walk by faith. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.